You have your Bibles. Trust that you do. And if you don't, you better hope that the tech team is on top of it. Hopefully they'll have the passage on the screen. Psalm 92. Just three verses, verses 12 through 14. Psalm 92, 12 through 14. Would you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's holy word? Psalm 92, 12 through 14. Here is what the word of the Lord declares. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Sap there is a positive thing, by the way. Okay. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. From this passage in Psalm 92, I want to talk about, let me see something here. I messed up. Technology. I want to talk about this, the palm tree life. The palm tree life. When I was last before you two weeks ago, we together looked at the power and importance of proper perspective from Psalm 73. You remember? You recall that Asaph, who's the writer of Psalm 73, because of his misguided perspective, was distressed. He was discouraged and ready to quit. He was frustrated. He was frustrated because of the apparent prosperity of the wicked, you remember. But his perspective changed once he came into the sanctuary of God. You remember that? Things shifted in his life, in the psalm itself, in that one verse when he came into the presence of God, where he then their end of destruction, the wicked, that is. It changed for him when he came into God's presence. Psalm 92 actually addresses the same problem, but from a different starting point. Here, the author is in the temple already, praising God from the vantage point that Asaph had to struggle to attain. The writer here is already in the temple. He's praising God. We don't know the author of this psalm. It's one of the anonymous psalms. Many think it was David. Others think that it was written after the exile, when the Jews returned to the land. It is titled, you'll notice your superscription in your Bible says this, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. Song for the Sabbath day. Not quite sure why this psalm was better suited for the Sabbath than many other psalms. Not sure about that. But the rabbis designated it to be sung especially on that day when the Jews gathered for worship, that they would sing this song. Commentator Derek Kidner has some observations about this psalm. He says this, this song for the Sabbath is proof enough, if such were needed, that the Old Testament Sabbath was a day not only for rest, but for corporate worship, and intended to be a delight rather than a burden. John Calvin says something about this psalm. Calvin says this, the psalmist teaches us that the right observance of the Sabbath does not consist in idleness, as some absurdly imagine, but in the celebration of the divine name of God. That's the reason why when we come into the presence of God, we ought to come in with joy and celebration. There should be no solemnness. There should be joy, celebration, because this is the day. Somebody finish that for me, that the Lord has made. And my Lord. This is a celebration. This song was sung on the Sabbath day to celebrate God. Psalm 92 is a worship song full of thanksgiving and praise for all the Lord has done and will do on behalf of his people. That's what's here in this song. The song opens in verse 1 that we didn't read. Verse 1, it opens this way with this declaration. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good, the writer says, to give thanks to the Lord. Then, in the verses that follow, the psalmist declares the reasons with an S. The reasons why it is good to give thanks to the Lord. For instance, in verses 1 through 5, he declares it is good to give thanks and praise to the Lord because of who he is and who and what he has done. Because of who he is and what he has done. And then in verses 6 through 11, he declares it is good to give thanks and praise to the Lord because he will triumph over the wicked. Then in verses 12 through 14, passage that we read earlier, our text for today, the psalmist concludes with this encouraging thought. It is good to give thanks and praise to the Lord because he causes the righteous to flourish. He called, now I know there ain't a whole lot of us say amen right there because we don't know if we're righteous or not, but I'm going to clear that up for you in just a minute. I mean, Paul already cleared it up. I'm gonna tell you what Paul said about it so that next time I say something like that, everybody will say amen. Everybody that's righteous, that is. I know. We're gonna talk about it. To make his point clear, the psalmist uses an interesting and familiar object for illustrative purposes, the palm tree. The palm tree is what he uses. When the Bible mentions palm trees, the original readers did not need a primer on palm trees to get the reference. They saw palm trees every day. They ate their fruit and sat in their shade. They were familiar with how and where they grew. But here's what I want to do, because many of us may not be as familiar with palm trees as the original listeners or readers of this song or singers of this song. So, knowing that I was going to preach about the palm tree life today, I thought I'd do a little research on palm trees. Can I share with you some interesting facts about palm trees? Palm trees have been important to humans throughout much of history. They are mentioned nearly 60 times in the Bible. Palm trees are among the best known and most widely cultivated plant families in all of the world. Palms can be found in every type of habitat, from rainforests to deserts, which means they can grow almost anywhere. There are almost 2,500 species of palm trees. But in Scripture, the palm reference is always the date palm. They are not just functional in providing shade, by the way, but practically all parts of the palm tree has a useful purpose. In fact, It is perhaps the most useful tree of all trees in existence. The fruit of the palm provided a great part of the diet of those in the East, the dates from the date palm, and still do, by the way. Also, palm trees provide a great variety of other usable materials, both in the Bible days and now. In addition to the fruit, the various parts of the palm tree also produces things like oils, syrups, waxes, dyes, medicines, varnish, resin, rope, thread, and tannin. Its seeds are fed to cattle, and its leaves are used for roofs, fences, and baskets. In many historical cultures, palms were symbols for victory, fertility, peace, and plenty. You'll recall that palms were laid before Jesus at his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You know, the day that we recognize as Palm Sunday. It is this unique, stately, and beautiful tree that the psalmist uses in verse 12 to illustrate the flourishing life of the righteous or the redeemed. Unfortunately, there is an unfortunately about all of this. Unfortunately, everybody that reads this or hears this can't celebrate. This verse doesn't say that everyone will flourish like the palm tree. Does it say that? It doesn't say that most people will flourish like the palm tree. It says a very specific group of people will flourish like palm tree, the righteous. And now we got to talk about that. Because I know everybody don't understand, don't feel like you relate or that applies to you. We got to talk about it. When the Bible refers to the righteous, it's not referring to people who are perfect. It doesn't mean the sinless or absolutely morally pure. If that was the condition, none of us would qualify, include me and all of you, if that was the condition. Gratefully, that is not the condition. The righteous in the Bible refers to those who love and serve the Lord, not perfectly, but sincerely, not in their own strength, but in faith and dependence on the one they serve. The righteous are those who walk clothed not in their own good works, but in the righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are, watch this, declared righteous in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. He says this, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." I don't know about you, but that's a shout right there. And so next time we talk about the righteous, you ought to be able to, if that describes you, you ought to be able to say something. These are the ones who the psalmist is talking about that will flourish like the palm tree. So, it leads to a question. Here's the question. How is a child of God like a palm tree? How? Well, I got a few characteristics that I want to share with you of the palm tree that also describe the righteous. First one is this: unbreakable and resilient. Unbreakable and resilient. Palm trees consist of, uniquely, palm trees are not made like any other tree. Palm trees consist of spongy, flexible tissue. They don't have a tap root system like other trees. Instead, they have thousands of roots forming a dense system resembling spaghetti. That's what it looks like in some ways, radiating in all directions within and without into the ground of the palm tree. These characteristics make them very resilient, unaffected by seasonal changes. They, in other words, they do this. They bloom wherever they're planted. They can survive just about anything. Droughts, floods, and even severe storms. Palm tree can survive it. Palm trees are able to bend 40 to 50 degrees without snapping and can even withstand hurricane force winds. At the end of a storm, they'll return to their upright position with their root system intact. Surprisingly, storms can stretch and even strengthen a palm tree's roots. In many cases, palm trees are stronger in the aftermath of a powerful windstorm than what they were before the storm even started. Now, you ought to say something right there. Similarly to this, Paul says of the redeemed or the righteous, similar to this about the palm tree, Paul says it this way about those of us that are redeemed, bought by the blood of Jesus, that claim him as Savior. He says this, Paul says this in Romans 8, 35 through 37, just like the palm tree who's able to withstand storms, he says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know what that really means? It means that after the storm is over, you ought to be stronger than you were before the storm started. Because we are not just conquerors, Brother John. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So that when the storm bends you, it ought not break you. When the storm wounds you, it ought not destroy you. When life presses in on you, you ought to be stronger and more faithful and more courageous whenever that thing is over than you were when it started. Because you can look back and say, the Lord brought me through. So like the palm tree, the believer is resilient and unbreakable. Also, like the palm tree, the righteous are upright. Upright. Palm tree rises upright with a slender 40 stem that is 40 to 50 feet, sometimes reaching heights of 80 feet. Stately and strong is the palm tree. It is, if you look at that, it is the fitting image of a godly person who is upright, strong, and stately like the palm tree, not crooked. I know crooked folks in the house. Because if you are, that means you don't qualify. Upright, not crooked. Upright in character, upright in conversation, upright in intentions, upright in motives. I know every now and then things slip out and things happen. I know that. That's not what the writer intends here. That's not what the illustration intends to convey. The illustration intends to convey. Where's your heart? Where are your motives? And if something does happen to happen, that the upright, like the palm tree, quickly go before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for whatever that thing is. Here's what the writer of Proverbs says about this in Proverbs 11:3. Says this, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. So, like palm tree, the believer is unbreakable, resilient, upright, also graceful. Graceful. The palm tree is the emblem of grace and beauty. In the Old Testament, palm trees adorned the temple. Jericho was called the city of palm trees and was one of the most beautiful cities in the ancient world. In heaven, the saints are portrayed as those clothed in white robes with palms in their hands, the emblem of beauty, grace, and victory. Acts 43 says something about it. It says, Acts 43, Luke says, of early Christians, great grace was upon them all. What does it mean by that? Here, grace means something a little bit different than what we think it means. Here, grace means charm and attractiveness. Charm and attractiveness. Here it is. There is something attractive about those who live near Christ. There's something attractive about those who live near Christ. You ever notice that if you live close enough to Christ, you don't ever even have to tell people that you do? And not only that, you ever notice that you don't have to tell them that you do, but they are attracted, drawn in to whatever it is about you that's going on in you and about you. It's just something, because living near Christ is attractive. It's graceful. Like palm tree, the believer is unbreakable, resilient, upright, graceful, also evergreen. It's in the second part of verse 14. It says this. First part says this: they shall bear fruit in old age. Y'all celebrated on that earlier. We'll get back there in a minute. They are ever full of sap and green. The righteous, like the palm tree. Now, notice I'm saying are, I'm not saying can be, because the text says that we are this, right? We are, so we are evergreen, like the palm tree, evergreen. Often trees in nature will turn dark and gray during the winter months, but the palm tree holds its rich, deep color even in the winter months. It shows its colors in all seasons. It's the symbol of faithfulness. Paul told Timothy this. He says, be instant in season and out of season. Psalm 34:1, the psalmist says this: I will bless the Lord at sometimes. At all times. His praise shall sometime be in my mouth. No, continually. In the summer, in the winter, in the spring, in the fall, at all times. We should say, like the palm tree, I will be, or I am, evergreen. I will show my colors, not sometimes, but at all times. We should say, anytime, Lord, day or night, in summer or winter, in darkness or light, I will follow you. In sickness, in health, in joy. What about in sorrow? Do we show our colors in sorrow? The colors of Christianity, the colors of Christ, do we show them even in sorrow? What about in adversity? I know we can show them in prosperity. Can we show them in adversity? Can we say to God, I'm evergreen and I will be true no matter what comes, no matter what the season is? Like palm tree, the believer is unbreakable, resilient, upright, graceful, evergreen, also faithful, fruitful. It's in the first part of verse 14, the one y'all celebrated. I didn't, because, it don't apply to me. I'm young. Y'all got all happy. Let me read it one more time so y'all don't get happy again. They still bear fruit in old age. Like the palm tree, the believer, the righteous, is not should be, but is fruitful. I did more research on the palm tree. A single date palm can bear up to 600 pounds of dates a year. The female date palm may bear 200 to 1,000 dates per cluster. Even more fascinating is that the date palm will bear fruit annually for well over 100 years. It lives to a great age. And here's the other interesting thing that you're going to like. The older it grows, the better the fruit is that comes off of it. Now that's my research on the date palm, but it applies to the life of the righteous. The old, I know you think you old, you done got slow, can't do that. The older we get, the sweeter the fruit ought to be. The Lord Jesus never intended the Christian life to be barren and unproductive. Jesus has chosen us that we should go and bring forth fruit. He says it in John 15, 16. He says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." So, like the palm tree, the believer is unbreakable, resilient, upright, graceful, fruitful, and lastly, an oasis. An oasis. The weary traveler looks across the burning sands, parched with thirst, and sees in the distance a palm tree. His heart leaps for joy, because he knows there is water, shade, food, and refreshment for his tired body and spirit. The believer is like that. I didn't say should be like that. I said the believer is like that. It's there. It's there. God gave it to us. It's there. The believer is an oasis like the palm tree. For God in Christ makes his people the means of refreshment to a weary world. We are. I ain't say we should be. We are refreshment to a weary world. We are that. We are refreshment to it. Christ refreshes our minds and hearts, and we, in turn, refresh others. True Christians, now there's the catch, true Christians can be an oasis of refreshment to friends, family, and all who come in contact with them. If you are truly a follower of Christ, you are an oasis to a thirsty, hungry, weary world looking for refreshment. That describes us to be refreshing. We must remain close to Christ, who is the very source of refreshment. So with all of that, that's a lot that you ought to, that ought to encourage you. All this stuff about the palm tree, all this good stuff about the palm tree should encourage you and lift you up and all of that. This palm tree illustration represents what we, the believers, the righteous, the redeemed, are like and who we are. Not can be, but who we are. Here's what we need to do. We just need to believe it, receive it, and walk in it. Because we are like the psalmist didn't say that we can be like the palm tree. Did I misread that, Brother Daniel? Said we are. The righteous are like the palm. All we've got to do is believe it, receive it, and walk in it. That's all we got to do. This should cause us to have some things on the inside. Just reading this, just hearing about this ought to do something to you on it. You know what it ought to give you? It ought to give you great confidence and joy deep down on the inside, to know that you are like a palm tree. You are like a palm tree. Isaiah has something to say, something to offer. Because after all of this, the question arises, so what? What now? If we are palm tree, we have the same character, what does it mean? What do we do? Isaiah has something to offer on this subject. He says this in Isaiah 61:3, in the last part of that verse, he says this, so they will be called the trees of righteousness. And this is from the Amplified version, by the way. I like this version because it breaks it down pretty good. You can't miss it. It says this, so they will be called the trees of righteousness. Who's they? The righteous are strong and magnificent, distinguished for integrity, justice, and right standing with God. We are, the righteous are the planting of the Lord. But here it is. Here's the purpose, that he may be glorified. Another version says that we might bring him glory. That's the what now. That's the end what. Because we are all of this, we ought to glorify God. We ought to glorify him. You know what that means? It means same thing. Jesus said, let your light so shine that men would see your light and be drawn to your light and glorify not you, but your Father who is in heaven. We have all of this, so that we can bring him glory. We, the righteous, are living memorials to the goodness of God. Our blessed lives show that the Lord himself is upright and faithful to his promises, and also show that he is our rock and that there is no unrighteousness in him. There is no unrighteousness in him. We are like palm tree. May God then enable each of us to flourish like the palm tree. To flourish like the palm tree, beautiful in the Lord, useful in his service, bearing good fruit to his glory. Even, y'all ready to shout? Into old age. Father, we thank you that you made us this way. And not only that you made us this way, but you gave us an opportunity through your son Jesus to be considered righteous. Thank you, Lord, that we are righteous in your eyes, that you have imputed righteousness to us through the blood of Jesus. And because we can claim that, we have everything your word says we have. We simply need to believe it, receive it, and walk in it, and bring you glory. Help us to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.